Well, a big, mighty fine hello to all the folks listening. This is Peter Ostrushko, welcoming you to my journey as a radio musician. This being Chapter 3, Part 2. Or the story of my becoming a fiddler. Episode, we heard about how Hillbilly Jim won the contest and how I got to play with Vassar Clemens. Now, in this episode, we are back at the broadcast with Vassar Clemens and the radio band. Now, there was one character that didn't play in the stuff that was in the podcast last week, but he's a big part of the podcast this week. And I will get to him in a moment. First of all, I'm going to tell you a story, another story. This is a story of me about 1966 at Sheridan Junior High School. And my best friend during this time period was an Ojibwe Indian by the name of Laverne Wakanabo, who lived just a few blocks from where I lived. And we spent a lot of time walking and talking and listening to albums on record players back in the days of vinyl, when vinyl was king. Now, Laverne didn't have a lot of access to the popular music of the time, but his dad loved country music and had the most incredible collection of country records ever assembled, I think. And one day when Laverne was at my house, we were listening to some of the albums that my older brother Yuri, or George in English, some of the albums that we owned and we loved listening to, particularly the rock music of San Francisco and what was coming out of Los Angeles at the time. So our album collection was mostly of the Byrds, the Grateful Dead, the Doors, Country Joe and the Fish, Big Brother and the Holding Company. And Laverne asked me if he could take some of this music home with him so he could listen to it more in depth. And I said, sure. If I could get the favor in return so that I could maybe borrow some of the albums from his dad's record collection. He says, I'll find out if that's okay. And it all worked out. He went home with some Byrds and some Grateful Dead. And I went to his house, and his dad's record collection, I remember this, was just laying on the kitchen floor in stacks, piles, 50 albums in each pile. And I just started going through them. I was looking for something in particular. I wanted to find fiddle music. And I found two albums that looked really interesting to me. The first was an album by Bill Monroe and his Bluegrass Boys. It was an all-instrumental record. It was considered a classic by Bluegrass fans. It was an album that was recorded over many years. So there were a lot of different musicians on each cut. There were a lot of fiddlers on these albums, and Vassar Clements was one of them. Now, I didn't know a whole lot about bluegrass music at this point, and I saw on the album cover it said Bill Monroe was the father of bluegrass music, so I figured this was the album for me to hear. And so I took that one, and I found another one that had two fiddles on the cover, and it didn't really say a whole lot about what was the deal with this, although I recognized a lot of the tunes on the back. Classic American fiddle tunes, like Soldier's Joy and Devil's Dream, Flop-Eared Mule, Back Up and Push. These were all pieces I had heard one way or another, but this was an album that was just called Wade Ray and the Country Fiddlers. It didn't say anything else about who played on the album or anything. So I borrowed those two, Bill Monroe and Wade Ray. I took them home and I listened to first Bill Monroe's album. And that just blew my head, my brain cap right off. I just loved the sound of two fiddles and three fiddles playing together. I'd never heard that before. Playing in unison, playing in harmony. It was so strong. It just made chills go up and down my back. And God, I wanted to be able to do that. So that did a number on my head that day, was hearing that Bill Monroe album. Now, being as I was sort of plunking on my mandolin or my father's mandolin at home, I thought it might help me with my mandolin too. Although, to be honest, I didn't much care for Bill Monroe's mandolin playing, but the Wade Ray fiddle album had two other people who were, you know, besides Wade Ray, who played the basic melody of the tunes, and he was a good fiddler. But there was also a banjo player who took solo breaks and a mandolin player who also blew the top of my head off listening to this mandolin player. I could tell that the solos that he was playing were totally improvised as he was playing them, and his melodic sense and improvisational technique was beyond anything my head could comprehend. And I said to myself, after I listened to that album two or three times, that if I did nothing else in my life, I was going to play mandolin that good. Well, not like that, this fellow. I later found out, a few years later, that mandolin player was no other but Jethro Burns from the country western comedy duo, Homer and Jethro. And I started finding everything I could of Homer and Jethro's and listening to everything they recorded so that I could hear as much Jethro playing that I could. And I also discovered that Jethro was in a string band with Homer and Chet Atkins, and they recorded a bunch of material together. And Jethro also started becoming popular again amongst the new bluegrass players, and he started showing up on people's albums. So I was listening to Jethro as much as I could. It wasn't that I wanted to play exactly like Jethro. I just wanted to be able to express myself the way he was able to express himself on the mandolin. And I guess in later episodes, we'll find out whether I achieved that goal or not. As is the case with Vassar Clements, little did I know that these gentlemen would become friends to me. not just as picking pals, but friends. I got to meet Jethro on the radio show, and we played together many times. And as far as Jethro is concerned, I had achieved the goal that I wanted, which is to express myself as best I could on the mandolin. One of the main lessons I learned from Jethro when I met him was that music was not the most important thing when you were in front of an audience. You had to entertain the people however you could. Entertainment, that was the business we were in, was entertainment. I remember one of the first things that I played with Jethro on the radio show, and you'll hear this at some point in a future broadcast, was a version of me singing Hank Williams' Hey Good Lookin' in Ukrainian. And Jethro had no idea what I was going to do. I just told him, we're going to do Hey Good Lookin' in B flat. And he just looked at me across the stage, and he had this hound dog look on his face. And all of a sudden, his jowls just went all the way from his ears all the way down to his chest with this big hound dog grin. And I could tell he was tickled. And we were like best of friends after that, because I wasn't just a good picker. I was there to entertain people, which is something that he put a lot of value on. There was something to be learned from all these great musicians, some that had something to do with music and some that didn't. I remember in my junior year of high school, on the summer vacation that year, I decided to bite the bullet and finally find a fiddle that I could learn to play on. And I remember I looked in the Star Tribune in the classified ads, and I found one for sale for about $45, which I could afford. And I went and bought this fiddle. I didn't know anything about fiddles. I didn't even know really what it meant to rosin the bow. And when I took the violin to get checked after I bought it, to get checked by a repairman who sold me some rosin and showed me how to put it on the bow. And so I went home after that, armed with this new knowledge that the rosin is what caught on the string and made the horsehair produce sound. And at this time in my life, high school, I was living upstairs of my parents' house along with my baba or grandmother. And I often didn't practice until late at night, and I would take my fiddle out and try not to put too much rosin on. And so in an effort not to disturb people who are trying to sleep in my household, I found out there was a device called a mute that you could buy to fit onto the bridge of the violin that would cut the sound to at least half. And I went out and bought one and still continued to practice late at night. And one day I asked my grandmother, is my violin playing keeping you awake at night? And she looked so surprised. She said, you play the violin? She says, I had no idea. No, you, no. She says, I can't hear. I thought I couldn't have had a better roommate. for my beginning days, because later in life, as people would come up to me and ask me about whether they think they should start playing the fiddle, usually older people, and I would say to them, are you married? Because if you're married, I would suggest taking up the guitar or the piano, not the fiddle. The fiddle is an unforgiving instrument. It can make agony. So I was very happy my grandmother couldn't hear. It made all the difference when I was trying to figure out how to play the fiddle by myself. Now, some years after my grandmother had passed, my mother told me a story that I hadn't heard before. And she said, you know, your grandfather, Maxim, was his name. That was your Baba's husband, first husband. He played the skripka in Ukrainian, that's fiddle. And I said to my mom, so how did he play? Was he any good? She kind of thought, went back in her mind, and she had a smile on her face. And she said, he could play a tune very well. He could play a very nice melody. And he would play in such a way as would make you want to get up and dance. And I thought, well, that is great. You couldn't ask for more from a village fiddler, someone who could play a good melody and get people up and dancing. Now, unfortunately, my grandfather, Maxim, was deemed to be a kulak by the Soviet regime, and that meant being a kulak, you were sent to Siberia because you were a landowner and you couldn't be rehabilitated to be a cooperative farmer. And so they just sent you off to Siberia, and he was never heard from again. But I was happy to find out that there was a fiddler in our family. I wasn't the only one. The music that you are going to hear on this episode, Chapter 3, Part 2, is a continuation of the Vassar Clements fiddling extravaganza. Now, the other musician that Garrison had on the radio show that broadcast day was a local fiddler by the name of Craig Rubel. Now, Craig Rubel, in my opinion, was the best fiddle player in the upper Midwest, bar none. I saw him play a number of times and was in total awe of what I heard him do. He was as good as any fiddle player I'd heard. And I'm sure it must have been equally amazing for Craig Rubel to be playing with Vassar Clements as it was for me, being as Vassar had been a Bill Monroe bluegrass boy. And so most of the material that we did with Craig, first of all, the two of them played twin fiddles together like they'd been doing it all their life. It was amazing. From the first notes, they played together on a tune called Roanoke. I was just amazed how good it sounded. And that was a classic twin fiddle tune of Bill Monroe's, Roanoke. And there was another off that bluegrass album that I borrowed from my friend Laverne Watanabe. Panhandle Country was the name of that tune. Craig and Vassar played that, and I was like a kid in a candy shop with $100 bill in his pocket. It was all I could do not to scream and yell uncontrollably from the excitement that was beating in my heart listening to these two guys play fiddle. And here I was playing mandolin along with him. So you're going to hear a whole repertoire of Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys, like I mentioned, Roanoke and Panhandle Country. Now, the other thing about Craig Rubel, he had a beautiful high tenor voice, which meant that he could sing the songs that Bill Monroe sang, because Bill Monroe was always known for his tenor voice. And so he did the classic, The Kentucky Waltz, and Footprints in the Snow, and Uncle Pen, which all these songs are Bill Monroe bluegrass classics. And then we end off the set with an old fiddle tune that Garrison requested, The 8th of January, otherwise known as the Battle of New Orleans. As in part one, the way we lined up on the stage to perform, I was at the very end on the left side, stage left, and standing next to me was Craig Rubel on his fiddle, and standing next to him was Vassa Clements with his fiddle, and Dakota Dave Hall was behind them, the fiddlers, and Dick Headland on bass. And then as I looked down past Vassar, Jim Tordoff was on the banjo and Cal Hand on the dobro.
Mr. Vassar Clements on the fiddle.
Footprints in the snow, and a little footprint.
sleds in the snow. Lord, now bless that happy day when Nellie lost her way, for I found her when the snow's on the ground. By to see her, it was a big round moon. My mama said she just stepped out and she'd be returning soon. I found her little footprints and I traced them through the snow, and I found her when the snow was on the ground. Now I traced her little footprints in the snow, found her little footprints in the snow. Lord, now bless that happy day when Nellie lost her way, for I found her when the snow was on the ground. Well, now she's up in heaven, she's with the angel band. Someday I will join her. She brings back memories, 'cause I found her when the snow's on the ground. Now I traced her little footprints in the snow, found her little footprints in the snow. Lord, now bless that happy day when Nellie lost her way, for I found her when the snow's on the ground.
Sit here alone.
more for your embrace in that beautiful Kentucky
sing.
mournful day when Oak Pen was called away. He laid up his fiddle and he laid up bow, and knew it was time for him to go.
Waiting in the Madison down how little love the town. The fiddle had rain, hear it talk, hear it sing.
The 8th of January, sir. About 3 days late.
Once again, thrill seekers and music fans, I'm glad you came to spend some time with me, and I hope you've been entertained. Now, as I look forward to upcoming podcasts, I'm going to, once and for all, explain how my last name is said and why it looks so funny spelled in English. So everyone will have no more need to be afraid every time they try to say my name. As someone once said, you know, with a name like yours, it's going to be hard to be in show business. They said, I think maybe you should consider changing your name. And I told them, well, I did one time. I changed it to Biff. I changed it to Biff Ostrushko, and it was still a problem. But actually, coming up, I think, to be serious now, is going to be myself playing with Robin and Linda Williams. That was a big journey in my life also. I'll share that with you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming. Thank you for listening. I already thanked them. How many times do I have to thank them?